Go ahead and turn your Bibles to the book of 1 Samuel chapter number 12. 1 Samuel chapter number 12, we have been going through this for quite some time now. And please, I encourage you not to get bored with it. I know that might happen to some folks. Don't get weary of it. Don't get tired of it, because every single time we open up God's Word, we always learn something new. Doesn't matter how old you are. And how many times you've read your Bible through, or how many times that you have sat through a service, there is always something new for every single one of us to learn from God's Word and from the teaching of God's Word. And so my prayer this morning is for you to have an open heart to see what God has for us today. And we've been going through this, as I said, for quite some time, and I've been encouraged by this through many different reasons. God has spoken to my heart on this with many different things that we have gone through. And if you all know, I've titled this whole entire series Relationships, and we've seen so many different relationships that have taken place in the book of 1 Samuel. And the very first relationship that I was very encouraged by was a relationship with a woman who desired to have a relationship with God. And because of that relationship, this woman had a great desire to have a child. And God granted her that wish. God granted her that desire and brought forth a child into this world. A child that was very influential in many people's lives and had a great impact on a lot of people. This is a man who, and I'll say this later on, who grew up in the public's eye. And really, because of this, when you grow up in the public's eye, you kind of have a target on your back. With that being said, well, what do you mean with a target on your back? Well, people know what you stand for. People know what you believe in. And because of those, people want to do everything that they can within their might, within their power, try to do everything with it, what they can to destroy you, to mess you up. And they're waiting, they're lurking over you. Whether you realize it or not, they're there ready to pounce on you at that any given moment of time. So that should be a caution for us to always be on guard and to always be serving God to the best of our ability. And that's what we need to do in our life. And I see this in the life of Samuel. Has Samuel failed in many areas? He most definitely has. I've not once come forth and said Samuel was a perfect man or is a perfect man. He has had some failures in his life. And we've seen those. We've recognized those. And one of the greatest failures that I have seen going through this so far is his children and what took place in their life. And we'll get to that again later on. I titled this message this morning, Age Shouldn't Be a Hindrance. And realistically, we kind of get to a point in time in our life where we begin to feel too old to do certain things. And I say that for a reason, because Samuel now is in his later life. He's old. And when we get to that point in time in our life, we kind of give up on things. Just the other day, a lot of you folks know that I play basketball. It's one of my favorite pastime sports. You guys know that. I say that from time to time. And I love playing the game because it's a lot of fun for me. It's a challenge for me. It's more of a challenge for me as the older I get, just the breathing part of it. And that becomes a great challenge. But I got done this past Thursday night playing with a group of men that I played with for years. And I'm a big fellow. You guys know this. And I play with some medium-sized guys and some smaller guys. And one of the things that they like to do to me, they like to beat me up, because that's one of the ways that they can defend me. And so my game of basketball becomes a game of football for them in a sense. And I kid you not, they like to do those types of things for me. But I went to bed that night and I woke up the next morning. My body, I'm not old by any way, shape, or form. You know, I just turned 42, but I don't consider myself old. I still consider myself fairly young. I feel sometimes as if I'm 16, 17 years of age, to be honest with you. And you folks can identify with that. And, boy, I woke up Friday morning, and my body was just miserable. It was in pain. I mean, every joint on me was hurting. And it's one of those times where you just have to wake up and swallow some pills to get you moving throughout the day. And I had to do those things. And I got to the point where I said to my wife, I said, I think I'm going to retire. She goes, really? I go, yeah. I go, my body just can't take it anymore. And but we all get to that point. But I say this for a reason. God doesn't put a number on us. God doesn't look at us and say, okay, you're 12 years of age. I'm not going to use you. Can I remind you, what was Jesus doing at the age of 12? He was in the temple. He was teaching. He was doing those things. So age isn't a number that God looks at and says, you know what, I don't want to use you. You're too young, you're too old, or you're in between. And we put limits upon God, but God doesn't put limits upon us. As a matter of fact, age is just a number. It's all it is. And so now we see a man who is coming to a point in time in his life where he's going to pass from this world and he's going to go on and not be around here anymore. And so he goes on and begins to do some reflection in his life. Let me be an encouragement to you before I get going on any further. Don't let age get in the way, because God wants to use every single person that's in here. Young, old alike, he wants to use you. And I'm not saying as a recruiting tool by any way, shape, or form. But God has, and we need to realize this, God has a plan for us. And he wants to use you. Our pastor here just turned at the age of 70 here a few months ago. And normally when you get to the age of 65, people are thinking of retirement and turning it in and giving up and going into a different direction. But when you're in a ministry, it's a totally different thing. There really is no retirement. You keep going on. Why? Because you know God still wants to use you. And you still want to be used of God. You still want to feel important and things of that nature. And I admire men who are in their 70s and their 80s that are still adamant about serving God. They're not letting age become a hindrance in their life. And so they've thrown that excuse out the window. And even in the life of Samuel, he's old here. He's winding down. And we're going to get into this. So here's my 3 points I want to give to you this morning, as I've been doing these last few weeks. Is the first point is listening. We dealt with this last week for a few moments. The second point I'm going to go into is pastime remembrances. And the third point that I want to get to this morning will be old but not done. And I like that part. God really spoke to me through that. Let's have a word of prayer, and we'll read a few verses and we'll get into this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time that you've allowed us to be here this morning. We thank you for the things that you have done in our lives, Lord. There are so many things that you have protected us from. There are so many things that you have guided us to that we don't even understand and can't even comprehend. And so, Lord, this morning we want to thank you for having your hand of protection about us. Thank you for having your hand of mercy and grace about us in areas of life that we don't even recognize this morning. So, Lord, this morning I pray that you would challenge our hearts from your word. I pray that you speak to us. Be with our young children as they're across the way. Lord, it's so important that these young people at their age would begin to understand what it means to come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, this morning I pray that you just work there. And we ask you these things in your name. Amen. So in the book of 1 Samuel chapter number 12, I'm going to begin reading here. I'm just going to read down to verse number 6, and then we'll go on from there and begin to explain some things this morning. It says, "And Samuel said unto all Israel, Behold, I have hearkened unto your voice and all that ye said unto me, and have made a king over you. And now, behold, the king walketh before you, and I am old and gray-headed, and behold, my sons are with you, and I have walked before you from my childhood unto this day. Behold, here I am, witness against me before the Lord and before his anointed, whose ox have I taken, or whose ass have I taken, or whom have I defrauded, whom I have oppressed, or of whose hand have I received any bribe to. Blind my eyes therewith, and I will restore it to you. And they said, Thou hast not defrauded us, nor oppressed us, neither hast thou taken aught of any man's hand. And he said unto them, The Lord is witness against you, and his anointed is witness this day, that ye have not found aught in my hand. And they answered, He is witness. So here we go over these first 5 verses here, and we see that Samuel starts off by saying, Hey, I have taken a time out to listen to you. I believe that one of the greatest attributes of a leader is one who is willing to sit down and to listen to the people. I think that is a great attribute, not only for a leader, but for anybody who is within the sound of my voice, being able to listen to somebody who is talking to you. Unfortunately, we know that doesn't always take place, because we think it's all about us from time to time. You know, it's hard to sit there and listen to somebody when all they're talking about is themselves. But there are those times where we need to sit and listen to them. Because why is that important? Because we really get to know who they are, how they function, and what their heartbeat is. And making them at that point in time to feel important. There's nothing more that I like when I'm sitting down and talking to an individual and they're listening to me, they're engaged in my conversation, they're interested what's going to come out of my mouth next. And I think that is a great attribute for young people. I sit there and I look at Doc. Doc, you just turned at the age of 96. Can I tell you your age? I just did. I look at him and I admire, look up to him for many different reasons. One's because he's still going on. He's still trucking for the Lord. And he still has a desire to serve the Lord. But one of the things that I see that he does with these children, they come up to him. And they come up to him for reasons, and I understand that. But when they're there with him in their presence, what does he do? They're talking to him, and he's listening to them. He's making them feel important. He's making them feel loved and making them feel special. And I tell you what, when that happens in a life, doesn't that make you feel good? When somebody is talking to you and you know, other things on their agenda, you know that they have other things that they want to do that might be more important, but they're taking the time to listen to you. That makes somebody feel important. And so a great leader needs to take time to listen to the voice of the people. And it's important for us to understand and to get to. This past week, we've had this issue going on in our city where the big squabble's been this median that they've been wanting to put across Broadway. And I thought to myself, that was a pretty dumb idea. And it's going to cost the city $9 million. And that's a lot of money. And I'm pretty involved in politics, and I like to make my voice heard and be known. And I signed a petition and also went a little bit further in signing the petition. There's a little part on there where you can sign a comment. And in my comment, I just said, hey, you know, you city officials, I said it like this, stop worrying and stop thinking about yourselves and listen to the people that voted you in office. Because if you don't listen to the voices that put you in office, those are the voices that are going to vote you out. And I said those almost a word for word on that. And this morning I looked at my email and somebody liked my comments, somebody of a like mind. And man, that made me feel good. Somebody liked that. It was good. But I did, and I sit there and say, and I got excited because the next day we all know that the city council voted and the meetings are no longer there. What happened? They took time out to listen, and they listened to the voices of the people, and that was exciting for me, and I felt important. I felt good, and it wasn't just my comment. It wasn't just my voice that was being heard. But it was hundreds of voices throughout our community voicing their concerns over this. And whether you agree with it or not, that's a different story, a different subject. And but anyway, they took the time this week to listen to the folks that put him in office. And so now we see here that Samuel, he starts off, and says, behold, I have hearkened unto you. The word hearken there means to listen, to pay attention. And we all know that Samuel dealt with really some unruly people. These people were folks who would walk away from God. These folks were ones that would turn away and serve other gods and reject their own God. And these are folks that in this time said, hey, we're going to reject God and we want a king. Why do we want a king? Because every nation around us has a king, and so we want to be like every other nation. And again, let me say this. That's not always a good thing. And so they whined and they complained about this. And so Samuel listened to the voice of the people. It says, I have hearkened unto your voice and all that ye said unto me, and I have made a king over you. And so because he took this into consideration, because he took the time out to listen to them, he gave them a king. And the Israelites asked for a king. He listens to them, and then he delivers a king. Remember, I got to say this, because this king here was the will of the people. How was Saul identified with everybody? Well, we saw in back a few chapters ago that he was what? He was good. He was a good-looking dude, and people saw him as like, wow, this guy, man, he's got some looks. He's a nice-looking dude, and that's who I want to be my king over me. Not only that, he's tall. He's head above everybody else, and man, he looks the part. And let's put him in office. And I said this a few weeks ago. Let me use caution here. Just because you look the part doesn't mean you make the part. And so Saul here, he looked the part, and this was the will of the people, the desire for him to be the king. The second thing that we got to understand here, God did not choose this. God didn't choose Saul. But we see later on in Scripture, who does God choose? Has a king. King David. So we go on here that Samuel, he's listening to the people, and then he goes on and delivers them the king. And then we go on in verse number 2. It says, "Now behold, the king walketh before you, and I'm old and gray-headed, and my sons are with you, and I've walked before you from my childhood unto this day." So now we see here that from day one, really, and even before day one, before he's even born, Samuel has been in a spotlight ever since birth. And he is well known and he is well respected in the community. But it would have been nice if Samuel would have just left it right there. Because then he goes on and he says, verse number 2, he says, "And behold, my sons are with you and have walked before you from my childhood unto this day." What do we know about his sons? Well, if you go back to chapter number 8 and verse number 3, let me read this here. It says, "And it came to pass when Samuel was old that he made his sons judges over Israel. Now the name of the firstborn was Joel, and the name of the second, Abiah, and they were judges in Beersheba." Look what it says here. It says, "And his sons walked not in his ways." Meaning that the ways that Samuel grew up and taught his children rebuked, his children rejected, and they walked a different route in life. Remember last week, I said one choice can affect your future. If you make that bad choice, your future can be in jeopardy here. And so we see this even in the life of Samuel's sons, that they made a wrong choice. They made a choice not to walk in the ways of their father. Why is that important? Because their father walked with the Lord. Their father had a relationship with the Lord. And for some reason or another, it baffles me to sit there and think about this, because they sit there and said, "You know what? I know you're good with God. I know you have a great relationship with God. But Dad, I don't want to have any part of this. I want to walk away." And so what do? They turned aside after filthy lucre, and they took bribes, and they perverted judgment. That's what the Word of God says here. And so we see here that these men that Samuel is talking about here, again in chapter number 12, were not godly men. And so now he brings his sons up again. He could have just left his sons out at this point, because we have already learned that they weren't good individuals. We've already learned that they're about for themselves. They gained financially off the people that they ruled over, that they were judges over. And they would put people in harm's way so that they can have their own financial gain. Boy, that sounds can I say that correctly? That sounds a lot alike. There we go. Our politicians today. It really does. When you think about what goes on, there are some good politicians out there, don't get me wrong, but there are some crooked, some perverted politicians out there that are really only concerned about themselves. And so now it says, "I am old and gray-headed." You know what? Just because you're old and just because you're gray-headed, God isn't done with you. Amen, sis? And God is not done with you just because of the age. God's not done with you just because of the color of your hair. And Samuel said, "Man, I'm winding down here. I'm reflecting on my past here, and because I believe my time here is short." But then he says, "I have walked before you from my childhood unto this day." Samuel makes it clear. I'm getting ahead of myself. Now, as Samuel's rehearsing this here, remember, he's been around since birth. And so because of this, you have a big spotlight on your back. You have a big target to where people are wanting to mess with you, to where people are wanting to really take you down the road that you should not go down. But I got to say this about Samuel. Samuel, despite all these things, because I say this for a reason, popularity can ruin individuals. Celebrityism, and this is how you look at this, can ruin people. It can change their thoughts. It can change how they look at things. But even though how popular Samuel was in that time, even though when times began to become difficult, when the people that he was over that in those times, when they walked away from the Lord, who was there? It was Samuel. He remained faithful to God during these times. And he was there when God needed him. He didn't give in to the things of this world that a majority of us would give in to. He didn't allow things in his life to distract him from keeping him on the right course. But you look at our lives, how many things that we allow to distract us from having a relationship with God the way that we should. I'm guilty of that, just as anybody else in here. And so he goes on and he begins to even talk more of these things. He says, verse number 3, it says, verse number 3, it says, "Behold, here am I, witness against me before the Lord and before his anointed. Whose ox have I taken, or whose ass have I taken, or whom I have defrauded? Whom have I oppressed, or of whose hand have I received any bribe to blind man's eyes therewith? And I will restore it you. And they said, Thou hast not defrauded us, nor oppressed us, neither hast thou taken aught of any man's hand." Samuel makes it very clear here in these first couple of verses, 3 and verse number 4. He makes it very clear, hey, if I have done any of you wrong, I want to make it right. How many of you have seen a politician, how many of you have seen a leader in your lifetime say, hey, I've done wrong. If I've done wrong to you, please let me know because I want to make it right to you. Tell you what, that's a pretty bold thing for Samuel to do, because realistically, anybody could have said, oh, yeah, this one time, Samuel, you did this to me. Samuel was going out on a limb here. And he wanted to make it right with every individual if he defrauded them or if he'd done them wrong. And so he makes this very clear, hey, please let me know, because I want to make it right with you, because that's not how I should act. That's not how I should be. And I want to make things right with you. But we see here in verse number 4, it says, "And they said, Thou hast not defrauded us, nor oppressed us, neither hast thou taken aught of any man's hand." So I say this for a reason. We do have people that are in the pulpits today who take advantage of other people for their own personal gain, for their own personal benefit. And we got to be cautious of these things. That's why the Bible says in the New Testament, beware of false teachers, beware of false preachers, that they may come in and that they may cause harm to you. And they might turn you to different ways that you should not be turned to. And there's people that do this in our pulpits today. There is a man that I know of today in our community. You have no idea probably who he is. But this is a personal friend of mine who has been personally affected by this. He married a preacher's daughter, supposedly. Fell in love with her, and they got married and began to attend his father-in-law's church. And began to, after a while, begin to see how untrue the word of God that was being spoken there. And what do I mean by untrue? The guy was speaking false teachings. And what this guy was doing, he was trying to benefit off of the people that were coming in underneath his services. They met in a trailer here in Council Bluffs. They didn't have no church building. As a matter of fact, it was this gentleman's home. And we would come in every single week demanding and requesting that they would leave their tithes and offering. And he began to have concern about this because he knew this wasn't right. He knew something was wrong. And he said, I have no idea where things are going. And he says, I know that there's no bank account for this church. The church didn't even have a name, by the way. And so because of this, he began to figure some things out. This individual was lying to the folks to gain financially. He was defrauding them. He was taking advantage of them. He was taking their money and putting it in his own personal checking account and not putting it towards the church. See, that takes place in our world today. That didn't just take place back then. And Samuel said, hey, if I've done these things, I want to know. I want to make it right with you. And to this day, this individual that I'm talking about has yet to make it right with the people that he has stolen from. The sad part of this story ends very sadly. Because of this, his wife ends up leaving him. That's pretty sad. So now they're no longer married. And because of this, because of him defrauding and lying and cheating and stealing, he caused the marriage to crumble. So we need to be cautious of these things. But we see here in verse number 5, it says, "And he said unto them, The Lord is witness against you, and his anointed is witness this day, that he have not found aught in my hand. And they answered, He is witness. Samuel is found good with the people, and that is a good thing." Now we're going to see some things switch here. And we're going to read down to verse number 6 through number 15. It says, "And Samuel said unto the people, It is the Lord that advanced Moses and Aaron that brought your fathers up out of the land of Egypt. Now therefore stand still, that I may reason with you before the Lord of all the righteous acts of the Lord which he did to you and to your fathers. When Jacob was come into Egypt, and your fathers cried unto the Lord, then the Lord sent Moses and Aaron, which brought forth your fathers out of Egypt, and made them dwell in this place." And I'm going to jump down to verse number 13 for sake of time. It says, "Now therefore, behold the king whom ye have chosen and whom ye have desired, and behold the Lord has set a king over you. If you will fear the Lord and serve him and obey his voice and not rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then shall both ye and also the king that reigns over you continue following the Lord your God. But if you will not obey the voice of the Lord, but rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then shall the hand of the Lord be against you as it was against your fathers." So now we see here through chapter 12 from verse number 6 to 15, we see the past time remembrances of Samuel. And Samuel's doing nothing different than some other folks have done before him. Moses going back and reflecting on the time how God has delivered him from certain situations and has been great gracious to them and has done righteous for them and to them. So he goes on and he says, I'm going to remind you of some things that God has done for you, how God has delivered your fathers out of Egypt. Why is that important? Well, you go back to the time where they were in Egypt. They were under the control of Pharaoh, and they weren't allowed to go. And there's we read of the plagues that came forth at this point in time, and they still had no effect on Pharaoh. And they still weren't let go. And then to the very end, where Pharaoh's heart was finally hardened by God, and the death of the firstborn of Pharaoh was taken, that's when Pharaoh had a change of heart, and the people were allowed to go out. And the people fled from there. But we also know how the story ends. Pharaoh went after them. And Pharaoh had a very devastating death. But we see here, he reminds them of these things. He reminds them how good God has been to them and how faithful God has been to them through their times of tribulation, through their times of persecution, through their hardships. And God has been faithful to them. Look back and examine your own life right now. How the trials and how the tribulations and the persecutions that you have suffered in your life, you know what you've suffered. I don't know what you've suffered. But look how God has delivered you. Look how God has had his hand of protection upon you. Look how God has delivered you from certain situations in your life that you were, that you thought for some way or another that you were not able to be delivered from. But we got to remind ourselves, we serve an almighty God who wants to do a work in your life, who wants to do a work in my life, and do the impossible things that we think that nobody can do. And this is what God does. He delivers them. He restores them on many different occasions. It says, therefore, stand still, verse number 7. I may reason with you before the Lord of all the righteous acts of the Lord, which he did to you and to your father. He did righteous to them. He didn't do any harm to them. Matter of fact, he did the opposite. People were wanting to harm them. People were wanting to wipe them off the face of the earth. And at the same time, they were forsaking the Lord. And so what did he do? He did righteous by them. Think about that. How many times have we have had someone in our life who has wronged to us and has drug our name through the mud and has done unimaginable things to us? How many times that we want to sit there and say, you know what? I'm through with dealing with you types of folks. I'm through with going through this type of persecution with you. I'm through with dealing with you forsaking me. What do? We normally wipe them off our minds, and we don't want to have nothing to do with them. But I tell you what, if God can have a forgiving heart towards a people who should not we have that same mindset for when people do us wrong? See, nobody's perfect. Nobody's perfect. You make mistakes. I make mistakes. And one of the greatest things that we can learn from God in Scripture is to have a forgiving heart. to be forgiving towards others, not to hold something against somebody. But that's what we do, unfortunately. When somebody does us wrong, we hold it within ourselves, and we become bitter and angry and things of that nature, which, by the way, I'll be dealing with hopefully by next Sunday with this. And so we see here God's delivered him through these things. He tells them and he reminds them that the Lord was righteous to them. He was good to them. But honestly, God could have just said, "I'm done with you rebellious and ungrateful people." That's what he could have said. And that's probably more naturally for us to say. We could have said those things, "You know, I'm done with you folks. I'm done with dealing with you. You're ungrateful. You're rebellious. You've rejected me. You're dragging my name through the mud. All you're concerned about is yourself." But no, we see a God who loves his people. And he still wants to do good to them and for them. And he doesn't say, "I'm done with you." He doesn't say, "I'm going to forget about you." Matter of fact, he does the total opposite. And he goes on and reminds them in verse number 10. It says, "And they cried unto the Lord and said, 'We have sinned because we have forsaken the Lord and have served Balaam and Ashtaroth. But now deliver us out of the hand of our enemies and we will serve thee.'" He goes on and recounts them how they forsook the Lord. But now the Lord is gracious and he delivers them from them. They forsook the Lord. They served other gods. But yet because of this, he was still righteous to them. I tell you what, we serve a great God, do we not? We serve a God who looks beyond our faults. We serve a God who loves us despite what we do. And that is something that you and I should be excited about every single day of our lives. This was a good refresher course for them to hear. It's good for us to go back at our history and begin to refresh our minds on the things that God has delivered us from, instead of focusing on the things that woe is me. Today is such a heavy day. It's such a sorrowful day. Everything's crashing around me. I tell you what, change your thought process. Change your attitude. Look back on what God has delivered you from. And I guarantee you, whatever you're struggling with that day and that moment, God will deliver you from that as well. So this was a good refresher course for them to hear. Because every time that they were in some time of trouble, who do they turn to? Who do we turn to when we're in great need? Who do we turn to when we no longer have the answers in our life? Who do we turn to when we know that we need somebody to pick us up and we know that we need somebody to be there for us? Who do we turn to? We turn to God. We turn to him and say, "God, I need you in my life." And we turn to him. So this is a good refresher course. Funny, this reminds me of us today. And I say this for a reason. We need to stop treating God as if he's some kind of magical potion. Do you realize that's what we do without thinking about it? "Oh, you know what? I can treat God how I want, and whenever I need him, I'm just going to call upon him." Well, wait a minute. He's not a genie in a bottle. He's not Santa Claus here, folks. Don't take advantage of him in this kind of a situation in your life. He's not some type of a magical potion. God deserves, and I say this for a reason, because the folks here, they missed out on this. God deserves so much more respect than what we actually give him. He deserves that respect. And he should be given that respect, not only by them, but by us, folks. He deserves it. We go on and reread in verse number 13 and verse number 14. It says here, "Now therefore, behold the king whom ye have chosen, whom ye have desired. And behold, the Lord has set a king over you. If you will fear the Lord and serve him and obey his voice and not rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then shall both ye and also the king that reigneth over you continue following the Lord your God. But if ye will not obey the voice of the Lord, but rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then shall the hand of the Lord be against you as it was against your fathers." Basically, what Samuel is telling the folks here in these last three verses that we're here right now, 13 through 15, he's saying, "Hey, be obedient. Be obedient to the Lord who gave you life. Be obedient to the Lord that has delivered you from situations that no one else could have delivered you from. Be obedient to him. You know, that's one of the hardest things for you and I to understand. You know, parents, we're funny, are we not? We want our kids to be obedient to us, do we not? We want our kids to obey the words that come out of our mouth. But when the shoe's on the other foot, and when God's speaking to us, and when God's telling us to do something, what do? We rebel. And we need to be obedient to him. And we'll finish this next week. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Blessing this time we have in your name. Amen.